We're going to turn over to the book of Daniel once again. Of course, we have our key verse from the book of James, chapter 5, and verse 16. But this morning, we're going to go right to the book of Daniel. We spent a fair bit of time talking about Daniel last week. I won't belabor that, but I do want to use that as a good backdrop there in the message this morning, all right? And so we have the title, Prayer is Spiritual Warfare. Prayer is spiritual warfare. And indeed it is. Spiritual warfare. We'll turn to chapter 10 of Daniel. We saw last week that Daniel, his time there was about 530 years before Jesus came. And so that is approximately in chapter 9 and chapter 10's timing. Daniel's an old man, but very faithful. Faithful from his youth. In fact, purpose to serve the Lord, as the beginning of the book discloses very clearly to us. He served the Lord faithfully, and he stood for truth and righteousness, and God blessed Daniel's life. And you know, in this day in which we live, in this Babylon which we live, I'll tell you what, God will bless our stand too. It doesn't mean we won't necessarily have to go through the lion's den. It doesn't necessarily mean they won't take our head off. But you know what? We can stand. And maybe they won't take our head off, but you know what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so let's be faithful. We ought not fear men, but fear him who alone can destroy soul and body and hell. Thankful to be God's child through faith in Jesus alone, to know him and to be able to serve him in this world. And so let's be focused on the hope we have in Christ and the provisions that he's given us for times such as these. And let's be faithful. Daniel was that kind of person, faithful in his life. And we come here to chapter 10. He's been praying for 3 weeks. He's been burdened for his people. He's been, no doubt, confessing sin and the sin of his people. He's been pleading with God to work and to intervene and to accomplish his promises through his people. And in response, an angel, an angelic messenger, has come to Daniel. There's more to the story here. We didn't by any means touch on all of it last time, and I'm not able to touch on it this morning either. But we find this angelic messenger talking to Daniel in response to his prayer. And in verse 12 of chapter 10, this angel, who is probably Gabriel, said unto Daniel, he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. From the first day, Daniel, your words were heard. Daniel, when you started praying, when you started fasting, your words were heard. And I am come for thy words. You see, Daniel was thinking on the prophecies of Jeremiah. He was considering what was God's purpose and plan. How was God going to work in restoring his people from this disgraceful situation they were in because of their stubbornness and their sin? And Daniel was praying, and he was seeking to understand the prophecies previously given. And God saw fit on numerous occasions here to give Daniel amazing prophecies of end times. In chapters 10, 11, and 12, these are really a unit. The divisions are just arbitrary, really. And this is a unit. This is a whole event here from chapter 10 on through chapter 12, the end of the book. And Daniel receives much from God, much prophecy regarding the end of that age, and much prophecy going forward to the end of this age. And so, some amazing things. But that angelic messenger that was coming with these words for Daniel, he was hindered in his coming. He was sent at the very beginning of Daniel's season of fasting and prayer. But in verse 13 it says, But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Again, I noted last time, this is probably a fallen angel, one of the principalities and powers, rulers in dark places. And this prince, this general, this chief of the kingdom of Persia withstood this angelic messenger. It says for 21 days, 3 weeks. And that's how long Daniel's been praying and fasting. This is a very interesting thing. As we see the curtain pulled back, we see the spiritual resistance behind the scenes to even Daniel's prayer and to even these prophecies getting out to you and to me. For in these prophecies, my friend, it tells of the demise, it tells of the defeat, ultimately, of the kingdom of darkness. The victory is evident through all of the trials that are prophesied. And so, some very interesting things in these passages. So, Gabriel here, if it was indeed him, had to call for backup. It says in verse 13, middle of the verse, says he was delayed, he was hindered these 21 days. And it says, and Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. He came to help me. And so, praise God for that. And I'll tell you what, God just pulls back the curtain here, and we can see, you know, sometimes we're familiar with the struggle in the physical realm. The struggle against good and evil. I mean, we see it going on in our country. We see it going on in our borders right now. We see it going on. We've seen it going on for years, emphatically in the last few, really. The struggle against good and evil, against truth and lies. Truth itself is under attack today, as we are told it would be in the end times. They would call that which is good, evil. And they would call that which is evil, good. The scriptures have taught us this. They have told us about this, that it would come, and here it is. And here we see the battle. We're very familiar with the battle and the struggle against good and evil in our physical realm, in the realm of flesh and blood, although there's a deeper element to it, but in the realm of our world and the things we can see. But God pulls back the curtain so that we can see that there is also a struggle in the spiritual realm. Now, the fact that there's a struggle doesn't mean that God is struggling. No, friend. But God has allowed a battle to take place. Oh, my friend, even the great battle in the last days when our Lord returns to set up his earthly kingdom, there's going to be the battle of Armageddon, right? The great battle, and yes, it will be a battle, of course. The Lord will be victorious over the foe. My friend, but though there is victory today, there is victory through Christ, all of those things, but the victory is found as we depend on God. That is where the victory is found. As I submit myself, therefore, to God, then resisting the devil, he must flee. He will flee. You see, our victory is found in dependence upon the Lord, and we can see even the angelic host engaging here in battle in the spiritual realm, in the unseen realm, which is very real. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about, is the battle that there is behind the scenes, that when we pray, it's not just a physical thing. It's not just a physical, it simply is not just a physical exercise. It's a very critical and important exchange between a frail human being and God Almighty. Prayer. We see Daniel, a man such as we, in terms of his physical abilities. He was a man, a regular person, who had set his heart to follow God, to honor God from his youth even. And now in his old age, he's still a man of prayer. He's still a man of faith. He's still a man who's seeking for God to work in his life and in his nation. He's still counting on God's promises. Here is Daniel. And the angel reveals the struggle Daniel was unaware of, had the angel not revealed it. Daniel, why in your perception am I 3 weeks late in coming? Because
the powers of darkness hindered. And ultimately, it was in God's time. We can see this in the story, the true story of Job. I'm not going to go there for time's sake, but you, many are familiar with much of the story of Job. Job was a good man. He was a righteous man. He feared God and served God faithfully. And behind the scenes, there was a big battle going on, right? And the enemy was attacking, and the enemy was trying to defeat Job, and he was trying to bring Job down, and he was trying to get Job to curse God. But Job proved the devil wrong. Job, although oblivious to what was going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, he stood strong. He stood firm in the Lord. Oh, he faced trials that brought him to his knees. And he was humbled. But God got the victory through his servant who trusted him. And Job was a better man after the trial. God brought him through the trial, and Job was blessed with 10 more children after losing the first 10 in death, in tragic death. God blessed Job in so many ways. And so there again, we saw the curtain pulled back, and we saw some of the bigger picture behind the scene of the struggle in the spiritual realm that God allowed to take place. God has not chosen in his infinite wisdom to completely annihilate evil at this time. Why? Well, I don't know all the answers, but I do know God is wise. And the struggle tests our faith. The struggle makes us a better Christian. And the struggle in this world will make heaven absolutely so infinitely wonderful. It's going to be good, especially knowing what the struggle has been. So you remember that. In life's struggles, heaven is just going to be all that more blessed and sweeter. Let's be faithful. You don't know all that's going on behind the scenes, but there is a lot. And that's the point here through prayer. When we enter into prayer, we're entering into war, to battle. A spiritual warfare. When you're praying for your son, when you're praying for your daughter, when you're entering into battle for them before God, the spiritual, the principalities and powers at work behind the scenes, you are engaging in real warfare. I got to get into the message lest I take too much time introducing things. And so I've got 3 points this morning, 3 points in this spiritual warfare. This spiritual warfare. First of all, I want you to see that flesh does not like to pray. Let's pause in prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to read your word and to study it. And thank you for the testimony you give us of a Daniel, of a Job, and so many others, of an Elijah. Lord, thank you for the place of prayer, and I pray that you'd help us to grow in our prayer life. Help us to recognize the struggle, the real struggle there is in prayer. Help us to be vigilant and to watch in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And so first of all, flesh does not like to pray. Flesh does not like to pray. In the book of Galatians, and I'll have you turn over there, chapter 5, Galatians here in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse number 17. Galatians 5, verse 17. The Bible says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these," if you have it there, would you read it with me? "And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." There's a struggle. The flesh and the spirit. You know, sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The flesh will always be weak. When the flesh is strong, we walk in the flesh. We need to yield to the spirit. the Spirit of God. And so we have this battle. When we set out to pray, oh, that's when distractions come, right? All of a sudden, there's distractions. Boy, other things are taking my attention right now. There's just a flood of things. Oh, I got to do that. Oh, yeah, and I forgot about that. And all these things, I'll tell you, yes, we're a physical being, and sometimes we can be distracted when we're doing other things as well. But there's a special distraction when we set out to pray. When a woman sets out to pray, all of a sudden there's an attack. There's distractions of the enemy. You know, I believe that's one reason why Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 6 to not pray to be seen of men. He's not saying don't ever pray in public. He's not ever saying don't pray with your family. Oh, yes, we ought to. But he's saying prayer isn't about others hearing you and, oh, what are they hearing? And am I impressing them? Am I making them think I'm so spiritual because of the eloquent word? No. Jesus said, of course, that's not at all what prayer is about. Prayer is about getting alone with your Father. And that's why he said, enter your closet. And when you have shut the door, there's illustrative things there of finding a private place, of finding a place where distractions are deliberately shut out so that you can focus privately, personally with your Father in prayer. And so I believe we need to be purposeful in prayer because flesh does not like to pray. This is part of the battle of prayer, and we need to be purposeful in praying. I must spend time with God today. This is not optional. This is important. And to be purposeful, we need to have a plan, a schedule. I'm not saying you have to have, you know, something very, very rigid. I mean, we can see Daniel's example. He prayed, the Bible lists there in an occasion or so that he prayed three times a day. In our recent passages of chapter 9, we saw him praying. In chapter 10, we saw him praying in a season of prayer and even fasting in chapter 9 there. But you know what? We need to have a plan. Be purposeful in prayer. When will you pray? When will you pray? If it's important, it should be in our schedule, in our plan. Find a place to pray as well, a place to pray. We can pray anywhere. We can pray riding a bicycle. We can pray shoveling snow. We can pray driving down the road. Yes, all of those are times when we can pray and should take opportunity to pray. But we also cannot just leave it to happenstance. We must carve out time daily to spend with God in prayer. And so, realize, in the battle, the spiritual warfare of prayer, our flesh, does not like to pray. So we must be purposeful in prayer. I also want you to see that we need to be disciplined in prayer. Purposeful, have a plan, but we need to be disciplined to carry it out. Oh, my friend, if you miss one day, don't let that turn into a second day. Let's be purposeful in that time of prayer. Fervent prayer, the Bible says in our passage of James 5 verse 16, be fervent in prayer. It accomplishes great things. Effective is the strong petition of one who is righteous. It accomplishes great things. And so, let's be disciplined in prayer. Thirdly, I would like to note that we need to be simply spiritual. Be spiritual in prayer. Be spiritual in your life. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what the verse just before the one we read. We read Galatians 5 verse 17 about the struggle in the flesh and the Spirit. But before that in verse 16 it says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to be spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. Oh God, your help. Oh Lord, your wisdom. Lord, your patience. I get frustrated so easily. Oh God, your help today. Lord, intervene in this need I just heard about. Lord, I'm still praying with you about this burden, this attitude, this that I see in this person, whatever the case may be. Keep talking to God. Keep praying. Walk in the Spirit. Flesh does not like to pray. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit, so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Secondly, we've talked about a little bit, but we'll put it in the point. Forces of evil oppose. Main point number two. Forces of evil oppose. We saw this here in Daniel, as we already have noted. As God pulled back the curtain, we saw the forces of evil resisting that angelic messenger from bringing those prophecies to Daniel. I'll tell you what, the kingdom of darkness does not want your children to live for him. The kingdom of darkness opposes your children. The kingdom of darkness opposes your marriage. The kingdom of darkness doesn't want you to be a witness in your workplace. The kingdom of darkness doesn't want you to give out a tract to somebody at the store. The kingdom of darkness opposes the work of God. Oh, friend, but he's no match. If we walk in the Spirit and we obey God, forces of evil oppose. Remember these familiar words from Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 12. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That is why prayer is so important. The flesh doesn't want to pray, but walk in the Spirit and keep praying. Forces of evil oppose. The battle is not on a physical realm. It's a spiritual realm. It's not in the flesh and blood. That individual who may physically be in your way, in a sense, pray for that person. Forces of evil are behind this. Forces of evil want to stir up trouble in your life, in your family. They want to cause division and all of these things. Let's keep praying. Let's keep praying. We need resolve. I noticed that. Resolve. Sometimes things get worse when you pray. I mentioned that last time a little bit, illustrating Daniel keeping on praying, and then he got thrown in the lion's den for it. But you know what? In different situations, sometimes things do get worse when we start praying. I haven't been real consistent in the past in journaling and prayer and that kind of thing, but starting here just even, 3 weeks ago or whenever this was here, a few weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, as I started praying and I started praying for different things for my children and different needs, sometimes things get worse. I noted as I started journaling and wrote some of those things down that I was specifically praying for, and I saw them get worse. It's like, yeah. You know, sometimes when you set out to live for God, you alert the enemy's radar system. And he's like, aha, we've got to derail that person. Aha, we're going to have to ramp up our efforts. Oh, my friend, but you just have some resolve. You trust God. You keep praying. That's what Daniel did for 3 weeks here in chapter 10 of Daniel. He kept on praying. He kept on seeking God. The answer had not come. Nothing had seemed to happen. And then the answer came. And God, through his messenger, brought some amazing things to Daniel on that particular situation. And so, with resolve, we need to keep praying. We also need to pray with persistence. With persistence. Keep praying. Keep knocking. Keep asking. This is what Jesus teaches us in Luke 18. Let's go over here to Luke 18. I would imagine that many of us are familiar with the teaching Jesus gives here about prayer. He tells a parable. All right, he put together a reasonable story to teach us a spiritual truth, a parable. And he spake a parable, it says in verse 1, unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why was he teaching this? So that we would pray, that we would keep praying, that we would always pray and not give up in prayer. And he talks about an unjust judge, and he talks about a widow woman who can't help herself. She's a picture of someone in need and unable to meet this need, and someone has been doing her wrong. There's an adversary attacking her in verse 3. Someone has done her some injustices. And she comes to this uncaring, sinister judge. And the judge doesn't want to lift a finger to do anything to help her. But Jesus points out that she keeps praying. She keeps coming. She keeps knocking. She's calling him. She's emailing him. She's stopping by the courthouse when he's going home from work. And he's saying, "Judge, Judge, you've got to intervene." She kept on. She was persistent, continually knocking, asking. And finally the judge, he says to himself, he says, "What in the world? This woman will not leave me alone. She's going to make my life miserable if I don't do something to help her." And so he, even though he has no heart for her, no care, he doesn't have a loving bone in his body, he intervenes. He does the legal paperwork, and he addresses her need. And that's Jesus' illustration. How much more? How much more? Verse 7. "And shall not God avenge his own elect, his own children, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" I mean, even a crooked, corrupt judge will finally say, "All right, I'll help you." And yet God says, how much more? When we keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking God, how much more does God want to help those he loves? He does. Notice verse 7. Middle of the verse, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Though he bear long with them. Be persistent. Sometimes the answer seems slow. You see, prayer is not a microwave. It's a slow cooker. Sometimes it seems slow. It's not because God is slow. It's not because he lacks power. It's not any of that. And sometimes he answers very rapidly, very quickly, if that's his plan, if that's his will. But you know what? Sometimes he tests our faith. Sometimes he sees, are we really trusting him? Is he really our hope? Sometimes he knows that the time is not right. And notice what verse 8 says, "I tell you that he will avenge them. He will help his children speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" God will help us speedily. That means on time. In a timely manner, right on time. Not necessarily on our time, but on his perfect timing. Main point number 3. In this spiritual warfare of prayer, we need to understand that faith is the victory. One more verse I'd like to take you to, and that's in 1 John, right towards the end of the Bible. 1 John and chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Please notice with me verse 4. Faith is the victory. We need to remember that. We had our first point this morning about how the flesh does not like to pray. We've seen, secondly, how the forces of evil oppose. And now we see that faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. The Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory." Would you read that with me? "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Even our faith. You know, faith is powerful. Without faith, we cannot please God. Faith is a key to seeing God's answers to your prayers. James chapter 1 tells us to pray for wisdom. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." And it tells us there to ask in faith. "He who does not ask in faith will not receive, but he who does will." Faith is a key component in our prayers. Have faith in God. Jesus has said on more than one occasion in the Gospels, "Have faith in God." Let's keep praying. Keep praying. Prayer is spiritual warfare. We need to continue to trust God, have faith in God, and continue praying. Remember, your flesh does not want to pray. It does not like to pray. Walk in the Spirit. We can have a sweet time with God in prayer. Nurturing that relationship and that communication in prayer. And so, walk in the Spirit. Forces of evil, we must remember, oppose. Let's keep praying with resolve, with persistence. You know what? If we're praying with persistence about something, and God shows us, "Hey, what you're praying for is misguided. That's really not my will for you." You know what? We can change our prayers. We can say, "Okay, Lord, your will, thy will be done." But if we believe what we're asking for, what we're seeking for our children, for our church, for our neighborhood, for our country, if we believe what we're asking for is according to God's will, then keep praying, then keep asking, keep knocking. Because that's what God tells us to do. Keep trusting Him. Faith is the victory. Maybe today there's somebody joining us. We're thankful for those who've tuned in online. And maybe there's somebody who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I want to encourage you that you can know Christ. If you would come to Him in faith, if you'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you too can be saved. You can be saved. If you'd like more information on how to be saved, please text us. Text the word simply salvation to the number there on your screen, and we'd love to communicate with you and help you to know how you can be sure that you are saved. Thank God for the place of prayer. Let's keep praying.